This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Eric Fetty, tonight's your night. It's not just a normal Friday. It's a Fetty Wap Friday. Let's see if we can go through the order twice. What do we think? Maybe 5 2/3, 3 hits, 2 runs? How do we feel about that?
Add one to a couple of those columns.
Bad news on the Nats front, by the way.
What's that?
Davey Martinez just announced Carter Kieboom is having season-ending Tommy John surgery.
Oh, God.
So, you got that going for you.
I mean, listen, it's not like great reinforcements were coming whenever he did work his way back, if that was going to happen. But still, there's with all due respect to Mikel Franco, it's not that exciting to me. The chance that the kid might be able to come in and do something at some point in his career here is intriguing and is exciting to me if the team is losing.
Look, he's 24 years old.
Yep.
And he was the 28th pick in the draft. For those two reasons, you wanted to see him on the field. It has been really disappointing to this point. He hit 128 in 2019, 202 in 2020, 207 in 2021. In his career now, in 106 games, about 414 plate appearances, he has really scuffled. A career 197 hitter. But you wanted to feel like maybe, just maybe, Danny, the next time we see him, he could turn a corner. And the whole season is about guys like Carter Kieboom.
That's the point, right? Is to figure out who's going to be here when you're good. And that's what I always work towards, right? That's, if you're not trying to win mid-90s games and compete for a World Series, you should be figuring out who's going to be there when you are ready to compete for that. That's what this year's about for Victor Robles. And so far, the early returns, to be honest with you, not particularly good. We're still doing some of the same stuff we've been doing for the first, handful of years of his career. But Kieboom was not out of opportunities. He would be if this was still a first division club. It would have been, thanks so much, appreciate the time. This is the time to do it, though.
Well, and to that point, I mean, until really the second half of last year, they were in win-now mode. I know that 20 was a huge disappointment, and 21 ended up a fiasco. But to your point, they couldn't prioritize development until now-ish.
Yeah, hard to do.
So you don't get to play every day and play through problems and stay in the lineup, and this would have been the year to do that with him. But according to Davey Martinez, his season is over before it starts. Tommy John surgery for Kieboom, so it's the Mikel Franco show for now. And probably for the future as well this year at third base. All right, let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today by visiting BetQL.com. Doug Farrar, longtime friend of the show, NFL editor, USA Today Sports, joins us on G&D. Doug, we wanted to get you on. We'll kick all around the NFL with you. But I actually saw shortly after the draft that it seemed like you were really high on Sam Howell. And we've been trying to... We're trying to find people who are, frankly, because there's been we've had plenty of guests on who aren't, and so we wanted some good vibes on Sam Howell. So what do you like so much about him?
Well, I think with Howell, there are a couple of things. You have to go back to his 2020 season, where this was before he lost his two best running backs and his two best receivers, one of which, Dyami Brown, is obviously with the Commanders now. And he was, in my opinion, based on his 2020 tape, a first-round prospect. Then he loses Michael Carter and Javonte Williams to the NFL. He loses Daz Newsome and Brown. And they kind of turned him into a running back because there wasn't much around him. But when I watch Howell, I see a quarterback who has a lot going for him. He... You know, he can throw vertically. He can, you'll hear people say, and I'm sure you've heard people say, oh, he's just, you know, a simple RPO-based quarterback. He completed 28 of 60 yards last year or 23 of 71 last season for 10 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. The year before, it was 11 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So he can throw deep. He's a good fit for Scott Turner's offense. He can go through his progressions in a vertically based play action pass passing game. He's already shown that. So I think people kind of have a shorthand, you know, from what I've read and from what I've heard, people have kind of a shorthand opinion of him as sort of a sub Baker Mayfield type. And I don't really see that. Based on the tape I've watched, I mean, does he have some things to work on? Yeah. He, you know, there are times when he goes a bit YOLO and it reminds me of Carson. And if you have one Carson Wentz on your roster, you probably don't want two. But, I think the premise of the article I wrote on, looking for the date here, on May 2nd was Sam Howell could be Washington's starting quarterback sooner than you think, because it is kind of an undefined position group right now. And I think the chance.
Doug's breaking up. I'm going to throw him on hold, see if Ryan can work out the kinks in the phone. The idea that he could be the starting quarterback sooner than you think, I'm going to drill down on that.
That's what I want to know about.
To be completely honest, sooner than I think would be at any time ever. If he's their starting quarterback, that's probably sooner than I think, because when you're drafted in the fifth round, you're typically never going to become the starting quarterback. And albeit an organization that needs one, you would think this is the ideal place to go. But Carson Wentz was just acquired. When you say sooner than you think, Doug, what kind of timeline does that mean?
Well, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on how many reps he gets. You know, they have to assimilate Wentz into the offense. You know, they're kind of figure out what to do with Taylor Heinicke. Given what they gave up for Carson Wentz, I would imagine he's the prohibitive starter. You know, so as far as timeline, that's hard to answer. I can say that, my phone was breaking up before. Based on the tape I've watched, I'll just reassert what I said. There is this sort of preconception that Sam Howell is this, you know, RPO-based quarterback, which he really isn't. He's thrown a lot of deep passes for a lot of touchdowns. He managed to overcome the loss of his two best running backs and two best receivers in 2021, made a lot of big plays, can read the field. You know, I think if you go back to his 2020 tape, there is first-round potential, and things kind of fell apart for him. And one of the things I like to look at when I'm looking at a quarterback is, okay, you're in a disadvantageous situation. What happens? He kind of turned into a running back. And he has said that he did not play as well as he would have liked last year. But I think there's enough on the bone both last season and in 2020 to, I wouldn't say he's the prohibitive starter. I would say that's probably Wentz right now, but, you know, we're all aware of Carson Wentz's history. That can go up and down at any given time.
At NFL_Doug Farrar for our guest on Twitter, Doug Farrar joins us here on G&D. What's his ceiling and how? Because I'm with you, Doug. I was just wildly impressed by the guy. When it crumbled around him, he just decided, okay, I'll run for 800-plus yards and 11 touchdowns. You know, it was like they didn't have much else to do, so he was running for his life, so he figured I might as well be productive that way. I've always been impressed by him, but I want to know, in your opinion, what's his ceiling?
I think his ceiling is probably good Baker Mayfield, and it's interesting that with Mayfield, you also have to go back to the 2020 tape because his shoulder was hanging by a string last year. There is a YOLO element to Sam Howell's play, which you could compare that to Wentz, and if you already have one Carson Wentz, you know, you don't want necessarily another in that regard. And Mayfield will hurt himself at times with that, but, you know, the good Baker Mayfield from 2020, you know, I don't want to say Russell Wilson or anything like that, but I think good Baker Mayfield is not unreasonable. Kenny Pickett, who went with the 20th overall pick to the Steelers, I think his ceiling is good Kirk Cousins, which is about the same thing. So, you know, if you get this guy in the fifth round, and he becomes a starter over time, which I believe he can, that's a pretty good deal.
Doug Farrar on Grant and Danny with us, breaking down Sam Howell, who he's high on, and we wanted to get him on to discuss what he likes as we're doing now. What was your take on the Wentz trade when it happened? Have you warmed to it at all in any way, or if you were already warm on it, I mean, what do you like about it? And just kind of give me an idea of what you expect from him this year.
Well, I think we know what Carson Wentz is and what he's not. And what he is a potentially big play quarterback. He will make plays. He will have games in which he looks absolutely tremendous. And he will also have games in which he vomits the ball all over the field. That's never really changed. And a guy like that, you have to understand what you're getting and what you're not. And you can say, well, we're going to manage it. Well, I mean, Frank Reich has in two different locations now tried to manage it. And, you know, even Frank Reich kind of gave up because that trade doesn't happen unless Frank Reich is like, oh, you know, we can fix Carson Wentz. They don't go out and get Matt Ryan instead, because Matt Ryan is a far more consistent and at this point in his career, far less explosive quarterback. So the Colts have told you kind of what they think of Wentz. The Eagles told you what they kind of think of Wentz. This is his third stop. This may be his last chance as a starter in the NFL. He's looking back up in the face, and that may happen sooner than later. So, you know, as far as what they gave up for him, I can't really speak to that. I don't, you know, what teams do is that's what teams do. It's not a deal I would have made based on Wentz's really up and down history. But again, he will have games in which he looks like the NFL MVP, and he will have games in which he looks like you're kind of wondering why he's in the NFL right now. And that's some quarterbacks are like that. It's wired into his DNA to just be that way and have that YOLO element to his play. This is, you know, the third NFL team, and, you know, multiple coaches have tried to sort of maximize the former and mitigate the latter. And, you know, outside of that, the season where he got the Super Bowl season where he would have won MVP probably if he hadn't got hurt, you know, his mechanics are problematic. They got really bad over the last couple of years as far as splaying his feet, you know, not having his body in sync with his arm. You know, there's a lot to be done, and the fact that Frank Reich brought him in, said all these things about, oh, we're going to fix Carson, it's all okay, and then a year later, boom, he's out. I mean, that tells you a lot.
Doug, there seems to be kind of a trend line going on in the NFL. There are teams that are perfectly willing and happy to pay dynamic receivers big dollars, north of $20 million. And then it looks like there are teams that just don't want to do that for whatever reason. I'm thinking of Baltimore, Tennessee, most specifically, given the recent transactions. Do you see that trend line kind of continuing, like team-building philosophies where someone's just going to – I guess Kansas City might apply too with Tyreek Hill. Do you see a team's basically going, we're just not going to pay that for wideout, or, you know, is this just kind of a rare offseason?
Well, I think, I mean, Your first move is, and teams did this right after the scouting combine, which kind of told you what NFL teams thought of the 2021 draft class, or the 2022 draft class, excuse me. Right after the scouting combine, there were this 40, you know, Russell Wilson and, you know, all these other deals, including Wentz. And one quarterback was drafted in the first round. No quarterbacks were taken in the second. So your first gambit, if you want to improve your offense and you don't have that quarterback, is to go get him. The second gambit is to go get the great receiver. You know, so you have situations like the Las Vegas Raiders with Devontae Adams, Dolphins with Tyreek Hill, there are, you know, Eagles with A.J. Brown. All of a sudden, you have these quarterbacks who are still being questioned in Derek Carr and Tua, Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, where you're not really sure, but they've been presented with these sort of quote unquote excuse proof situations. And so that's kind of the second level of that, you know, improve your offense thing. Most likely, if you get a great left tackle or a great running back, that's not going to do it. So if you can't get the quarterback, you have to go get the receiver or maybe the tight end. So whether that trend continues or not, I mean, the cap is going to go up pretty exponentially in the next few years. Teams are looking at it. They're looking at free agency and trades as more of a team building thing than they have in the past in a general sense. So I would expect that to continue.
Doug, excellent. We appreciate the insight. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, good having Doug. You back on the show. Check him out. He does a really good job. USA Today Sports. We told you at the top of the segment, some Nats news on the injury front that wasn't particularly good. Carter Kieboom out for the year. Want to pivot back to the Nationals because Davey, still talking with the media while we were just talking with Doug 3 minutes ago, gave this update. Steven Strasburg and Joe Ross each threw 43 pitches over three simulated innings in a game in Florida yesterday. So Davey Martinez is optimistic that both of those guys could begin minor league rehab assignments sometime in the coming days.
Okay. This is all we've asked for.
This is something.
All I wanted was information. And I wanted everyone to stop pretending like it was there's no need to ask for information. This is what the question should be every single day. Where was Steven Strasburg? You told me 2 weeks. It's almost May's two-thirds over.
Now, Davey said 20 to 25 starts. We are past 25 starts, okay? That's not happening. We could still get 20 out of Steven Strasburg, potentially, as a Nats fan base. I'll take the under on that. My guess is you don't now expedite this process. Like, you don't kick this into overdrive. They don't start moving this along quickly. He's going to rehab at the slowest rehab pace that's ever rehabbed. He's going to pitch like 10 pitches in the rookie level, and then he'll be at one inning at Fredericksburg, and then he'll be at one inning and one third the next start, and then he'll get bumped up to Wilmington. It'll be two innings, and then it'll be three innings in Harrisburg. And I'm doing a little bit of shtick, but this is not going to be like.
But also,
he's not going to be in the majors in a week. You know, in 2 weeks, it's not like one or two starts. If he's throwing 43 pitches right now, he has to at least double that before he's back for his first major league start. And you probably want to get him through, I don't know what, three rehab assignments, which is 15 days or so. So I think we're looking at a couple weeks into June. You're hoping maybe he makes a
season
debut?
That's best case to me. I mean, you up and down a few different times, recover. How do you feel the next day is almost more important than what you're going through that night. And you know, can you do all your exercises, all your running and all your lifting and all those kinds of things that you need to be able to condition to hold up to the grind of every fifth day? To me, that's best case is mid-June.
What if Strasburg actually comes back and he's nasty and he just pitches the rest of the year, makes 20 starts. He's Stras from the last time he was healthy in 19 and he's just mowing people down the rest of the year. And you go in the next season with Stras in your rotation, Corbin continues to do what he's done lately, which is kind of pitch like a fourth or fifth starter. And you have Josiah Gray, and maybe Cade Cavalli's ready, and you go out and, God forbid, you actually spend a little bit of money in an offseason on a starting pitcher, something they haven't done in a long time for anybody not named Steven Strasburg. What if, man? You can actually make a case for them not being awful for like three straight years.
Yeah.
If Strasburg is good again.
Well, I did that for this year. And what I mean is, that was the scenario. I go, Steven Strasburg is going to miss 2 weeks. So if Strasburg is somehow himself and Patrick Corbin figures it out again.
You know, this was not a good team.
No, I wasn't saying they were going to be good, but I was saying, hey, they'll be around, right? They could play just under 500 baseball and be interesting. And, you know, there's like 200 teams in the wild card. So maybe, just maybe you add something, whatever, right? But it wasn't realistic for this year. But yeah, that's the plan. I mean, because look, listen, 5 years, dude. 5 years. Like, he's not going anywhere. He's got to be good again at some point. $35 million against the cap.
Counting this year, the non-cap, as it were.
Yeah, the luxury, whatever.
The 35 against your payroll.
Yeah, your payroll.
Where you are desperate to stay under the luxury tax threshold. This is year three of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's four full seasons after
this one.
To your point. All right, let's get to what we learned today. Stretch run of Grant and Danny. What did we learn? Brought to you by your local Honda dealer. When you drive a Honda, the adventures go on and on. Hurry into your local Honda dealer, where new vehicles are arriving daily.
I learned this, and I wish I didn't. A slimy, carnivorous, toxic, immortal worm sounds like something from a science fiction movie, right of your nightmares, but it's real. The hammerhead worm is not more hype than harm. It's in Louisiana, and this worm is so terrible and awful, if you cut it in half, it doesn't die, and it just regrows into two worms. So, to recap, if you try to cut it into 100 little pieces, you'll have 101 worms.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I need you to react appropriately. If you try to kill the worm by cutting it and destroying it into little tiny pieces, it'll just regrow into more worms.
I heard you.
It's in Louisiana. It's only a matter of time.
Oh, no.
Like a matter of time until what?
You know when.
No, I don't know.
They're coming. You want to see it?
Those worms?
That's it.
Well, they're tiny.
They're not.
What if I just step on it?
I think it's fine. Let me see if I can find that picture of the thing. That's much longer. Yeah, see, that's the longer one.
Oh, no.
It's the same picture, actually.
There's no scale. He just showed me the same picture twice.
There's a carpet, and it's longer than the carpet. See that one?
Looks like a welcome mat.
Yeah, it's bigger than a welcome mat. You comfortable with that thing? That slithering monster?
I think you just kind of step on that. It's not a snake, right? It doesn't have a mouth to eat you. It's just a
worm. It does. It eats other things and like sucks the blood out of them.
It's just a little worm.
Toxic, poisonous.
We're going to be all right. There's some things we should worry about. I'm not going to add that one to the list.
If you plan to kill this worm, think twice before attempting to cut it up. It will regrow whatever part it needs. Cut it into four pieces, you'll have four new worms. The best way to kill this worm is by sprinkling salt or vinegar on it.
There you go. It's like in the movie Ernest Goes to Camp, they needed milk.
Is it?
To get rid of the bad guys. Do you remember that?
No.
M-I something K, Miak. You needed milk to get rid of like the trolls and the monsters. So you just need some vinegar. Walk around with some vinegar, you're fine.
If you do come in contact with one, you should wash your hands because they do produce a toxin. Okay, great. That's awesome.
I learned that your favorite TV show, Downton Abbey, is a movie now.
There's a second movie.
Was there a first movie?
First movie was solid, I would say. Left a lot to be desired.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Downton Abbey, a new era.
Yeah.
I've never even seen a preview for that.
Oh, yeah.
But I know you love that show.
So like it seemed.
Maybe you could take your wife out to the movies.
The reviews aren't kind so far. Someone called it Drek. So I'm hoping.
Also learned there are only 9 horses in the Preakness Field tomorrow in Baltimore.
Field position.
Feels like there should be at least 18. Normally there's more horses than that. Am I wrong?
I have no idea.
9 seems very light.
If you told me there's 30, if you told me there's 7, I wouldn't know the difference.
Missed any part of the show, thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. We've also got a baseball podcast.
Bustin' Loose Baseball, wherever you find those podcasts, Spotify, Apple Pods, Odyssey app, whatever, wherever. Rate, review, like, subscribe, say nice things.
Greg Hoffman has overtime coming your way in just a moment right here on The Fan. Thanks to Darris and Ryan. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen. The weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.